talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you
down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. There is a great mystery in the governor race right now, and I'm going to solve it for you. And you may not have even noticed it. Tim Michaels, who won the primary a week ago, in the last 7 days since the primary, has disappeared. He's made one public appearance. He then tried to delete, erase the Trump endorsement from his website. A sharp-eyed reporter caught it, and so he had to put it back on. And now he's disappeared, and his campaign won't say where he is. You know, there's a famous line from Sherlock Holmes. When I was a kid, I read all the Sherlock Holmes stories. Love Sherlock Holmes, still do. There's a king of mysteries, Sherlock Holmes, Arthur Conan Doyle. In any event, there's a very famous line from Sherlock Holmes that goes like this. Sherlock Holmes has a sidekick named Watson, Dr. Watson, who's a little kind of thick-skulled. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And Watson said to Holmes on a particular case, he said, well, what's the clue here? I mean, what are you focusing on? And Holmes said, Watson, I refer you to the curious incident of the dog in the night. And Watson said, but Holmes, the dog did nothing in the night. And Holmes said, that is the curious incident. There's a curious incident of Michaels doing nothing. And here's my take on it, and you may have a different take, but you may not after you listen to this. Michaels all along had been much more moderate than he lets on. He has an uphill battle running against an incumbent governor who's done, at the very least, vetoed the most bizarre bills they ever got through. You'd lose your right to vote in this state. And he sucked up to Trump, and somehow he got Trump's endorsement, largely because Trump did not like Scott Walker and did not like Rebecca Clayfish. And he had to go around mouthing Trump pieties, but he looked uncomfortable doing it. He was oblique about doing it, but he had to say some things that are coming back to kill him. And there are ads now where he's ranting, you know, well, was the election rigged or wasn't it? He never came out and said it, but he said, you know, there was certainly something wrong with it. That's false. He knew it was false. He also, to suck up to the base, the right-wing base, when he was asked, would you make an exception for rape when you say you're going to ban all abortions? And he said, no. And then he said, it's not too much to ask that the woman give birth. Well, who the hell is he? He's not giving birth. Giving birth is a very, very, I mean, it's a wonderful thing. It's also very traumatic physically. It's very tough. And if somebody's raped, that's their decision, not Michael's decision. But he said it, and it's on TV. So he has this crazy stuff out there. He is trying to scrub Trump out of it. He's trying to pivot to Tommy Thompson. Tommy Thompson was elected governor 4 times. That's more than any other governor in history. 4 times he was elected governor to 4 four-year terms. And the final term he left to go into George W. Bush's cabinet. But I know Tommy Thompson. He's a good guy. And Tommy Thompson, even though he's a Republican, was very moderate. He was sort of center-right or just center. He actually had good relationships with the unions. He was now trying to kill the unions, wanted to make sure they had good wages. And frankly, he wouldn't even be a Republican today if he were running. on things like abortion, Tommy Thompson would sort of recite the pieties and then not do anything about it. He'd figure it out. Michaels is trying to go that route. But the problem for Michaels is to get the nomination, he had to suck up to Trump and suck up to the extreme right, and he's on tape doing it. What he is doing right now is desperately meeting with his consultants, his advisors, his media people, and his message people, saying, how the heck do we do this? In other words, there are people who have done it, like Elise Stefanik went the other way. She was a moderate congresswoman from upstate New York and attacked Trump all the time, said he was a racist. Harriet Hageman, who's running in Wyoming against Liz Cheney, had been a Cheney supporter and said in the past, Trump's a racist, a xenophobe, and he's terrible. Elise Stefanik said the same. Suddenly, they convert to Trump. And they're Trump disciples. It's really kind of disgusting to see. There's no integrity in that. Here, Michaels is trying to go from pretending to be a Trump disciple, which in all truth, internally, he never was, and how to shed that snakeskin and develop another snakeskin as a Republican candidate, and this one as a Tommy Thompson guy. In fact, what's very, very funny is, you may not have noticed it, but the election was on a Tuesday, obviously, a week ago. When the FBI executed a search warrant in the thing they denominate a raid, it's just the execution of a search warrant in Mar-a-Lago, the night before, all hell broke loose, and Michaels and others were afraid that a Trump endorsement was the kiss of death. So you know what he did is he immediately republished the Tommy Thompson endorsement, which he'd gotten back, I think, in April. I mean, it's 3 months, 4 months old. Published it like it was new news. He is desperately trying to put on the Tommy Thompson skin and shed the Trump skin. And he literally tried to do it by wiping Trump off of his website until he got caught and snuck it back on. That's what's going on. That is why the dog is doing nothing in the night. The dog right now is desperately trying to figure out, they call it a pivot. I mean, when somebody goes 180 on something and he's clearly lying one time and then telling the truth the other, that's not just a pivot. You know, what is the real integrity of the man? Now, in Michael's case, I think his reputation for a long time had been a sort of moderate business guy, and maybe he is trying to govern like Thompson, but he's stuck with the fact that he campaigned as Trump, and he campaigned with really, really bad statements that came out, and they're being used against him, and they should be used against him. So stay tuned. My own view is, when you have a gerrymandered Republican legislature, you need a Democratic governor to veto. You really do. If you have a Republican governor, it's possible that a Michaels would meet with him privately and saying, if you do this, I'm going to veto it and try to work with him. But since he's already shown that he will suck up to Trump, there's no reason to believe he wouldn't suck up again. And that's why I think we need a Democratic governor to veto the excesses of a Republican gerrymandered legislature. But he's incommunicado. He can't do this much longer, for Pete's sake. I mean, he can't go another 7 days and disappear. I mean, people at some point think, how bad did you want the job? So keep a sharp eye on this guy. Well, another kind of sad fact, if you've ever read Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling is a wonderful author. She was a mom on welfare with little kids in Scotland. And she had this idea of a Harry Potter books, and she'd go into a coffee shop and write. She sent out, and she was rejected by every publisher, practically. At the very end, there was one who was an Australian publisher, and the guy looked at it and said, oh, my God, I'm not going to do this. But his niece picked it up. She said, God, this is great. And he took a chance, and now J.K. Rowling is a billionaire, and that guy made his reputation. Well, J.K. Rowling has just now received death threats from Islamic terrorists in and in the UK, and the following facts. When Salman Rushdie was stabbed on the stage 10 times by a jihadist terrorist who somehow we let in the United States, he's going to lose an eye, stabbed in the liver, was on a ventilator, stabbed 10 times. He's an older guy. J.K. Rowling tweeted out the following quote to Salman Rushdie. I wish you well. I feel sick about the attack and hope that you recover. I wish you well. I feel sick about the attack and I hope you recover. By tweeting that, she got death threats from Islamic people in the UK who all said, you're next. I can't emphasize enough that when a civilized country, a Western European, US type, Canadian type country admits jihad, you end up losing your right to freedom of speech and freedom of exercise of your religion under your constitutions because of fear of assassination. It may only be a handful of people, but the rest say, well, bring more of us in. And you have the so-called progressive left urging it. It's a very serious problem. When J.K. Rowling is subject to threats like this, very, very serious problem. The author in France who wrote a book called Submission, which is a science fiction sort of thing about what would happen if Islam took over France, and he has 24-hour police protection. You cannot permit a dogma to come into the country that threatens the First Amendment. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Well, big primaries today in Alaska and Wyoming. Lisa Murkowski's on the ballot in Alaska. Liz Cheney in Wyoming. Believe it or not, Sarah Palin is on the ballot for Congress in Alaska. Lisa Murkowski is running against Kelly Chewbacca, Trump type. Trump has endorsed Sarah Palin. Stay tuned. Alaska and Wyoming. Wyoming, Liz Cheney against Harriet Hageman. Test of Trump's further influence in the Republican Party. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, speaking of the dog did nothing in the night, speaking of something that is really atrocious and got virtually no coverage, which isn't exactly the dog in the night, it's sort of the inverse. Yesterday, there was a shooting at Six Flags Amusement Park near Chicago in Gurnee. Three people were shot. The parking lot of Six Flags. Now, Six Flags is a very well-known amusement park, roller coasters, the whole bit, great place. A lot of people in Wisconsin go there. A lot of people in Wisconsin have gone there. But the reason that I flag this, no pun intended, is because we have gotten so inured to mass shootings that a shooting at Six Flags near Chicago almost didn't get mentioned on the news. Think about that. I was watching the ABC Evening News, and not only didn't they lead with it, it went along, and I thought, my God, they're not even going to mention it. At the very tail end, they sort of mentioned it in passing, as if, what, there'd been a traffic accident or something. We have so taken for granted, we've become so almost immune to sentiment about mass shootings that unless these three people who were shot, apparently, thank God, all survived, that unless they're fatalities and quite a few of them, they get stuck in the back of the line, in some cases, don't get mentioned. So what are we going to do about this? You take a look at Buffalo, you take a look at Uvalde. There are mass shootings the first 6 months of this year there were almost one mass shooting a day. A mass is more than a couple. And there was a shooting at a Texas football game, a kids game, where one coach shot another coach, killed him, while the other coach, the dead guy's coach, was on the field. What? This is what, normal? I think it's a couple of things, and there's a couple of things more we can do. There's an increase in violent talk in the society, and a lot of it has been started by politicians, by so-called leaders, and they're in the Republican Party, starting with Donald Trump. 2016, runs against Hillary Clinton, said that Hillary Clinton's bodyguard should be disarmed and the Second Amendment people should take care of her. That's a threat against a presidential candidate. If anybody other than the other presidential candidate had said that, the Secret Service would have come to them. And the Secret Service did go to Trump and said, knock it off. And not only didn't he knock it off, the very next time is when he said, after he'd said that the Second Amendment people should take care of Hillary Clinton, he said they should disarm her bodyguards. He's taunting, probing, testing, taunt, probe, test, taunt, probe, test. Well, now it's come so pervasive in society, everybody's caring, it seems, and they'll just open up in a high school, or actually, I don't think it was high school, it may have even been younger than that, in Texas, football game, Six Flags, grocery store in Buffalo, school with little ones in Uvalde, and by the way, there were 380 police officers milling around who were scared to go in. One of them lied and said that the janitor gave him a lot of keys. He tried them all. The thing was unlocked. All he had to do was turn the doorknob. And there was gunfire going in. They killed 19. A guy killed 19 little ones and two teachers. And nobody's been fired. Nobody's been criminally charged. Why are some chicken hawks in Texas not fired? Why is the chief chicken hawk of Uvalde not fired, not disciplined for chickening out, for being a chicken hawk, and 380 guys stand out there and let 19 little ones get killed? Now Six Flags, three people shot, but they weren't killed. And it was in the parking lot of Six Flags. So people go, well, that may not even make the news. I represented a TV station in my legal practice, and they have news meetings in the morning, you know, what's worth covering, where are we going to send cameras? And if something big happens in the afternoon, they readjust. And if big happens 2 seconds before they go on the air, they're very good. They react. So this thing, what? They sit all day, and this isn't even worth mentioning, except for the tail end, as a matter of fact thing, like a traffic accident. Are you kidding me? That's what we have come to. Now, there are some things. It isn't just violent rhetoric by Trump that seeped into the Republican Party. That's part of it. But the other part of it is, at what point do you say that an AR-15, a semi-automatic weapon like that, that can fire multiple rounds in a very, you know, just a few seconds, is a military weapon, not a civilian weapon? That's the clearest delineation. 1994, they were outlawed as military weapons. You want to fire them. They're fun to fire, by the way. I didn't fire an AR-15, but in the Navy, we would fire some semi-automatic weapons in training. It was fun. And so join the Marine Corps, join the Army. You get plenty of chance to fire them. You can't have a nuclear weapon. You can't have a chemical weapon. You can't have a bazooka, shoulder-held missile launcher. You can't have a javelin or a stinger. You can't have any of that. You can't have a machine gun. Why should you have a military weapon, which is what the AR-15, the AK-47s are? Why should you have that? They should be outlawed. And the House has passed a law to do that. The Senate won't do it. And as a result, you have disturbed 18-year-olds walking around with military firepower. And at some point, that has got to change. I don't know how many more people have to be killed. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
We had a quarrel.
As the snow flies.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I think sometimes we overlook the theater aspect of what Trump is doing, not just in Mar-a-Lago, not just in stealing nuclear secrets, which they suspect may have been turned over to the Russians already, but his presidency, his life. And here's a telling insight. Rudy Giuliani just said publicly that Trump's first reaction to the FBI search warrant, when it was first disclosed, as they went in 45 minutes before they went in, and then when they went in, he boasted about the size of the crowd outside supporting him. In other words, when that word got around, Trump's first reaction was, look at all my supporters. This guy is pathological. This guy is a guy, this narcissism doesn't begin to explain it. He was diagnosed as a sadonarcissist by a number of eminent psychiatrists who acknowledged that normally you don't shrink somebody's head unless you see him personally, and they're not going to be able to interview him, but they all came up with a diagnosis of sadonarcissism. He is in outer space. His first reaction that the FBI is searching or has searched Mar-a-Lago for stolen nuclear secrets that he is now suspected of possibly passing on to the Russians for either money or blackmail was to boast about the size of the crowd outside. The size of the crowd outside. That is sick. Go to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Well, the crowd is never going to be big enough, is it? I mean, it's never going to be big enough for him. So I had a question. Perhaps you've already covered this. I came in late to the show, and if you have, I apologize. But I'm curious if you would explain this efforts by Trump to have the entire the affidavit for the search warrant released in the under the rubric of transparency. Can you talk more about why that would be a really bad idea? My understanding is that there would be information about witnesses that Trump could discern who's lining up against him and then God knows what. So, but I don't understand all the details of it. I mean, my understanding is that it was highly unusual to release what they did last week. So could you talk a little bit more about that? I'd appreciate that. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Sure. That's an excellent question, Joe. Let me bake that up. And what Joe is referring to is it just now it's come across the wires that Trump is saying, release the affidavit itself. In other words, he and his defense lawyers would like to see the affidavit to see who the witnesses are to intimidate them. They will do that, for instance, in drug cartel cases. Just tell us who the witnesses are and who, so we can kill them in that case. In the El Chapo case, they wanted Trump's, and it wasn't Trump, it was El Chapo's lawyers to have disclosed to them who the witnesses were in Mexico in particular, that they were going to bring in to testify against him and in the border states. And the government said, no, we're not. You'll see him when they're on the stand, but they would have been killed. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm not saying that Trump would kill these witnesses, but he's already intimidated witnesses. He's already called them personally in some cases and others saying things like out of organized crime. Quote, the big man knows you're going to testify. He knows you'll do the right thing. And he reads transcripts. So here's what's going on. Normally, nothing is released, not even the warrant, until there's a criminal charge, and then it's turned over to defense counsel. Here, Trump lied, and so did his major supporters in Congress, and said that there was no reason to do it. It was all political. So what happened is Merrick Garland went to Congress, or I should say to the courts, and said, give me permission to release the warrant now with the inventory so you can see that this is substantial. And that was sort of a chess move. Trump was backed into a corner. He didn't want it released. He didn't want a document released that showed that a federal judge thought that there was a preponderance of the evidence that he'd committed a criminal violation of the Espionage Act. He didn't want them. But it came out, he had no choice, and he said, okay, that's fine. So this comes out, and you realize that he first of all, he lied about saying he'd turn back all the documents in June. Secondly, the documents included top secret compartmented documents that only a handful of people had access to and had to be seen in a secure location and then retrieved. And they were in an unguarded storeroom in Mar-a-Lago for over a year. And Russian state TV has already said they were shown them. That obviously doesn't look good for Trump. Trump is now desperate, so he makes a chess move. And he says, all right, then give me, publish the affidavit. Well, the affidavit is about 70 pages long, and it not only has information that was in the warrant that they've already seen, but it has in particular two things. The identities of witnesses, and even though the Justice Department could redact the witnesses' names, then the Trump people would say, well, there's something sneaky going on. If they don't redact them, those people are going to get death threats from Trump supporters. Some may be killed. Trump will attack them and try to dissuade them from testifying. Secondly, it's going to show lines of prosecution that aren't apparent in the warrant. For instance, the warrant said the Espionage Act, obstruction and other things. But there could be, for instance, and I've not seen the affidavit, something in the affidavit that says something like Mark Meadows or Jared Kushner have said that Trump, or some secretary for that matter, have said that Trump did this, that he had cash in the safe. And there's one occasion where he goes down to the safe and pulls out 50 grand. In addition to being blackmailed by the Russians, Trump is being paid by the Russians, and this secretary has knowledge of it. That secretary's life is in danger, and she is going to be harassed. So Merrick Garland, in my judgment, can't release this, and Trump knows that. And frankly, Trump really doesn't want it released because it's going to put a nail in his coffin. But this way, he can say Merrick Garland is hiding something. So to get back to it, Merrick Garland released the warrant, and he also released the inventory because Trump had lied and said there was nothing to it, and he got court permission to do it. Now Trump is upping the ante, saying, all right, send the affidavit so we can intimidate and really jeopardize witnesses and also your lines of attack of other prosecutions, which we can now get rid of documents and so forth. Joe, thanks for calling in. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Money Today. Wisco Paul.
Good morning, Matt. Thanks for that, Joe, and thanks for your explanation there, Matt. Despite Trump, Congress is not dysfunctional under Biden. I mean, it truly isn't. And just off the top of my head, Biden got he built roads, infrastructure. He tightened gun safety. Believe it or not, that was bipartisan. He expanded health care for the vets. That is also bipartisan. You got a climate bill, climate change bill passed. You lowered drug costs for seniors. The pandemic bill, the stimulus, it wasn't perfect, but it stopped us from, you know, going into a depression. He strengthened NATO. You know, in fact, there's a lot more here, but I can't, you know, I don't want to get too far. He also, actually, Joe has done more in his first 2 years as president than most presidents get done in 8 years, Matt. And his popularity is on the climb. It's helped that gas prices are going down. And on top of all this, he had to clean up Trump's mess. And if anybody thinks Trump didn't create a mess, they're high, because it's a mess. So this guy, as long as he stays healthy, he'll win in 2 years. I know 2 years in politics is a long time, but he's going to win because he's done a lot of bipartisan things, and he looks stronger every day he's in there. It's an unbelievable thing. So I just wanted to say some good things about my president. I call him my president, Joe Biden. After it's just it's unbelievable, actually, if you sit down and start reading this stuff, what this man has done in 2 years. Okay, thanks for taking my call, Matt. You have a great day.
Yeah, Paul, I love that call. You know, the positive is vital, and we don't get enough of it because there's so many weird things going on. But I want to pick up on what you said. Biden is going to run in 2024. I support him strongly, as I did last time. And nobody's going to beat him. DeSantis isn't going to beat him. Trump's not going to beat him after all this. But here, let me expand a little bit on your list, which is an excellent list. First of all, he passed hard infrastructure, repairing our roads, airports, and water systems. Now he's just passed soft infrastructure. They called it the Inflation Reduction Act, which will, for the first time, will negotiate prices for Medicare with the pharmaceutical companies, providing more money for health care for the poorest people. A couple of million people now have health care. And it changes the tax code to shift the tax burden onto the wealthiest people in corporations and start making them pay something. And on climate change, it reduces carbon emissions by 40% by 2030. It's a extraordinary bill. In addition to that, on gun safety, he did pass that bill, even in the Senate right now. He's engineering Sweden and Finland coming into NATO and strengthening NATO, as you say. He's standing up to the Russians in Ukraine and supplying Ukrainians with weapons to drive the Russians out. The chip bill, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars to make us competitive in computer chips. Up until now, it had been China. It's a China containment bill. The burn pit bill for veterans. Remember, veterans who were exposed to toxicity weren't what, covered by medical care? Are you kidding me? There were people I knew who got exposed to Agent Orange in Vietnam. It was terrible. And some of that kind of stuff happened in Afghanistan. You got that through. Gas prices are down. They're under $4 a gallon. And remember, inflation is worldwide. It's not just in the United States. He's done a better job in the United States than anybody else. But inflation's a fever, and you don't get a fever in just part of your body. You get it in your whole body, and he has done the job here. He took out the head of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, and he has strengthened NATO. He's also created a sort of mini NATO in Asia to contain China, and he has strengthened Japan, South Korea, the Philippines, India, and Vietnam, all to stand up to the common Chinese adversary. You're right, it's been 2 years. I mean, actually it's 2 years in January. It hasn't even been 2 years. It's like a year and a half. It's unbelievable what he's done. And so the thing about the guy is he's sort of unassuming. He's not boastful. He's a good guy, an honest guy. And I don't know. And so people say, oh, well, they were saying, because Trump would attack him and the Republicans knife him in the back all the time, there must be something to do that. Well, now he's going up in the polls. People are suddenly realizing. But the other thing you got to understand is very few presidents in history go up for re-election way up in the polls. Frequently they're underwater because they have some scars on them. They've had to do all the mess. And you correctly hail his biggest triumph is cleaning up Trump's mess. We had a crooked, treacherous president in there who was frankly servile to the Ruskies, and Trump cleaned up his mess and a lot of other messes. So you have to see who he goes up against. You think he can't beat DeSantis? Are you kidding me? You think Trump can't beat Nikki Haley or Cruz? You think he can't beat Trump, who took nuclear documents out of the White House that were top secret compartmented and kept them in an unlocked storeroom in Mar-a-Lago, which is a resort with banquets and workmen and everybody walking all over the place, no security at all. Security is for him personally, but if he goes to New York, then they go with him, skeleton guard at Mar-a-Lago. I think Joe Biden, thank God for Joe Biden, and he will get reelected. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Dan of Monona, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind, eh, Dan?
Well, I was just, you're naming all of the things Biden's got done in the 2 years. Look, is he going to get, you think, what are his chances of getting some real...
Yeah, I can't really hear you. Yep. Can you take it off of, voicemail and just say it again? I didn't hear that.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, sure can. Thank you.
All right. What are the chances of Biden getting some like good FDR stuff done? Is that like minimum wage? How about health care for everybody? Fixing the housing issues, stuff like that. Do you think he can get that done?
It's a very good question. And here's the thing. Remember, FDR, when he came in, was in the middle of a depression. And people, some people questioned whether the country could continue and hang together. So he had more leeway. If you ask, do I think that Biden can get universal health care in single payer in his administration, I wouldn't say no, but I would tell you that that's a stretch, quite frankly. On the other hand, he's effectively doing that by this new bill is going to add health care to millions of people. Virtually anybody can get, they absolutely can get health care through the Affordable Care Act, and they'll get their premium subsidized. So that's number one. Number two, when it's housing, he has put a lot more money into housing. I mean, at some point, if you look at the housing crisis in 1932, it was a lot worse than it is right now. So, yeah, I think he is a modern FDR. And like FDR, he's fighting a fascist opponent in Europe. In this case, it's Putin. In Roosevelt's case, it was Hitler. But he's also fighting one in Asia, which is Xi. So thanks a lot for calling. I really appreciate it. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Sure. Good morning. With the Wyoming election today, primary, excuse me, I can't believe that Liz Cheney has a chance. But here's where she really has a chance. Boy, is there a lot of talk about her running for president in 2024. I think that it's a double-edged sword. She's going to lose today, but the other side of the sword is she's got a shot of it then. The last but not least, Newsmax and Fox has decided to stamp the FBI as defunded and just a horrible organization. They got to be called out for that. They got to be called out. They're basically saying, we want our government to be overthrown. We want our politicians to direct what should be done, not the government. As far as they have confused this issue in the minds of these Trump believers, that we have to straighten it out. Because if we do, Biden's going to get reelected. We know that. Thanks, and wait to hear your thoughts. Have a good day, Matt.
Thanks, Bill. Yeah, two things. I have a theory on Liz Cheney. I'm a huge fan of hers. Right now, she's 30 points down in the polls in Wyoming. So, yeah, she's going to lose that, but she has a lot of integrity. If she runs, here's a problem for Liz Cheney. She hasn't been able to even campaign because of death threats in Wyoming. So, in other words, her opponent will go to a fish fry or a barbecue somewhere. Liz can't go. And but on the other hand, if she runs for president 2 years from now, she'd be a strong candidate, but she's going to run into the Trump stuff. What I would say is if I were a Republican nominee for president in 2024, I would make her my vice presidential candidate because she doesn't have to campaign for that. And once he's the nominee, he doesn't have to worry about Trump. And I think that might be her ticket into the big time. And I hope it is. I think she's terrific. On the other stuff, you're absolutely right. And it's the Republican congressmen that are ginning up this anti-FBI stuff. They are jeopardizing the lives of FBI agents. Somebody's going to get killed. And there's a guy in Cincinnati who did get killed, but this time it was the shooter. And Trump basically misled that guy. And so did the Republican congressman. So this is, you know, my advice. I mean, then that's not going to be taken. My statement to Republican congressmen, shut up. Are you Americans or not? Shut up. The FBI is one of the strongest and has the highest integrity of all our institutions. Just shut up. These guys are executing a search warrant that a federal judge and an attorney general told them to. Period. End of story. Thanks for calling, Bill. Dave of California, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dave?
Oh, thanks, Matt. Yeah, a couple of things. As you were talking about, you know, Trump out there in Wyoming, do I remember right, in the second episode of the January 6th hearings, they said that the Donald Trump Defense Fund was basically an illegal operation, that he had raised $250 million that they could tell on with an operation that had no state charter, it had no tax number, no federal tax number, no interstate commerce tax number, and he had raised $250 million from this emergency defense fund. Now, you know, if you've got a district attorney running for office, usually district attorneys try to issue consumer alerts. Now, has anybody done a consumer alert on the phony Trump defense fund, warning the public not to give money to this operation until they get a tax number? So if you think about Wyoming, Wyoming must be covered with these fools that are donating money to someplace.
Right.
They're getting shafted. And they're just, you know, suckers for the con artist, and it would be an easy, any DA in any county out there could be using that as a campaign issue. Do not donate money to this phony operation till they get a tax number. And you know Trump's not going to do it. I mean, did they actually lift his passport? Trump's passport, when they raided there, have they lifted his passport now?
Well, they gave it back to him because it was in a box with classified documents, so they took the whole box, but they're not deeming him a flight risk yet. If he gets indicted, he will be a flight risk. So thanks a lot for calling, Dave. I agree with you 100%. Great points. Gary of Sussex, there's 1 minute to go, so you have 30 seconds, Gary. Jump in.
Oh, that's all right. Okay, hey, I got a, you know, yesterday I mentioned something about Joe Biden not making it because he's 75%, you know, 75% of people, Democrats, don't like him. But I got somebody that I think you guys might have, Liz Cheney. She could switch parties and go over to the Democratic side. I don't think that Liz Cheney is a bad person.
Okay, thanks for the advice, Gary. I'm going to pass it on to her. I'm coming to the end of the show, unfortunately. Call earlier next time. Great show today. Great call-ins. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.